look, here in the studio, two writers who are not on strike.
We're the only two, yeah. I think.
They may be.
Now, book writers don't go on strike because then they would be starving.
Yeah. Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson are back in the studio this afternoon. This is their third visit together, although they have made separate visits. And I counted it up, guys. Your combined visits over the years to my show are rivaling the number one couple of in all of guestdom on my show.
Who's the and that would be couple?
Maury Povich and Connie Chung. you're three visits behind them.
And,
so.
they're right out in the hall right now because they heard about this.
They're not as like, funny as you
I
are.
I wrote Connie Chung into a book one time.
Is that right?
My first novel, Never Look Back, I had this. I devoted so much of the book to Connie Chung, which I called her Karen Kwang in my book because I just totally had a thing for Connie Chung.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know this. My editor read the book and said, love the book, but the Karen Kwang character has got to go. So
really?
I wrote like 150 pages that were totally killed. In
so
the book.
Somewhere in a computer somewhere there is your little fantasy.
That's right. My
Karen
little fantasy
Kwang?
About Karen Kwang.
What if you had told the editor, is really Connie Chung?
Yeah,
can we just
might have made a difference.
Can we call her Connie Chung? No, you couldn't do that, could you?
No, you couldn't do that.
No. Dave and Ridley are back with the, let me see if I say this right, the third Peter Pan prequel in their trilogy. This one is called Peter and the Secret of Rundoon.
You said that.
Very good. Very well done.
Thank you. It's
featuring Connie Kwang as Peter's long-lost love.
We had a late-night TV host try that.
Oh, yeah. Radio. It was radio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was radio.
We're on a book tour, and as you know, but they're not all wonderful like you, Paul. Not everybody knows what the book is. Not everybody. So we're on, and I don't know why we're on at midnight in New York City on a show, you know, where I can't believe that anybody at that hour is looking to buy children's books. I'm not sure anybody at that hour can even read, you know, but there we are, you know, because that's what we were told to do. So we're there, you know what you're doing. And this guy gets on, and I'm, you know, a conservative estimate, the man was 180 years old.
Okay.
And he's not really a big reader, as far as I can tell, certainly not of children's books. And he goes, so the book. And he's looking at it for the first time, obviously.
Ever.
Now, the name of the book is Peter and the Secret of Rundoon. He looks at the book and goes, so, Peter and the Secret Rundown, what's that about?
Where we start.
Ridley and I were so tired, we just start giggling. You know, I don't really remember what that interview was about.
At that point, it doesn't matter.
I think we ended up talking a lot about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because he knew about Star Wars.
Yeah, which is interesting because that's in the book we're writing right now.
Yeah.
Connie Chung,
no,
Luke Skywalker, the
Karen
two of them together.
Oh, Karen Kwang.
Karen Kwang goes Karen and meets Kwang. Darth Vader. The book, it was a huge hit in my house, as the two previous ones were. Your publisher was nice enough to send me what they call the advanced reading copy.
The ARC.
Which means we didn't bother binding it or checking the spelling.
Yeah. Or putting the illustrations in.
Right. No illustrations in there. You know, speaking of that, I'm curious about the cover art, because while the words inside are phenomenal and really grip the reader, the cover art to me reminds me of old Yes albums. You know what I mean? It's really, really evocative, and you look at it and you get mesmerized by it. Who does this stuff
for
you?
He's an amazing artist.
Yeah, his name is Greg Call, and he lives in a tiny, I mean, like 20 people town in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And with, I mean, the main industry is like sheep or something, you know. And he is just this genius illustrator. And the first book, the first drawing he did was for our first book for Peter and Starcatchers. And it was such a great old timey adventure looking, you know, with beautiful detail and mystery and magic about it. And we just that's the guy we got. And they ended up buying. Disney was going to put just the cover and maybe four or five illustrations inside, and they ended up putting about 20 or something because they're just so good.
He's really, really talented, really, and he's probably really upset that you're finished with the series. Now, when a guy does art for your book, do you get to talk to him ahead of time? Does he want to talk to you?
We communicate with Greg.
Yeah, what happens is he basically goes through the art editor at Disney, but Disney sends us the sketches, and especially if it's specific characters, specific scenes that we've described, you know, he's an art guy and he doesn't read necessarily.
He didn't get the advanced uncorrected.
No, it'll be things like, you know, okay, the ship is beautiful, but you know, we talked about the cannons. There has to be, you know, cannons sticking out of the side of the ship, or, you know, in this particular picture, the snake is too small or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have a big snake in our book.
Yes,
Paul.
You do.
The covers, we spend a lot of emails going back and forth on the covers because they're so crucial to the whole thing. And he's terrific, you know. I mean, the same way that Dave and I edit each other back and forth, you know, no harm, no foul. Mm-hmm. He's the same way. I mean, we can say, The fangs have to be bigger. We went through, on Peter and the Shadow Thieves, I bet we went through 8 tries to get the fingers on this character, Ombra, who's on the cover, right?
The evil shadow, creepy dude. Yeah.
You know, we weren't liking it, but he didn't say, well, those are the fingers, and that, you know, he kept doing it.
And of course, all this is describing an imaginary character.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like that. He looks more like this.
Wow, you know? I know.
It was like those police sketch artists, you know. should be a little creepier? Yes, it should be creepier. Yeah.
Does this ever happen between the two of you? They're all fictional characters. Does one of you ever say to the other, oh, he would never say that?
Oh, yeah, exactly. A mermaid would not say that, you know, and we're
dead serious.
A mermaid would not say that.
And we both really are convinced we know what a mermaid would say. Yeah. You know, that's part of the process.
Yeah.
We have a good time.
Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson, the first book they did together was Peter and the Star Catchers, then Peter and the Shadow Thieves, and now the third one is out. It's called Peter and the Secret of Rundune.
Or in New York, Peter and the Secret Rundown.
Either one. You can look forward to either keyword will work on Amazon, and it's going to be a huge bestseller for the holidays here. And if that's not enough, you should know not only is there a giant snake, there is flying camel poop.
Yes.
Now, since I've gotten to know you guys a little bit through
indeed.
The years, I can only guess that Dave was responsible for the flying camel poop concept.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Credit where credit is due.
If you've got a camel flying, okay,
yes,
and you need a weapon, what better, okay?
Okay.
Have you ever seen a camel? I mean, you know,
I have.
Okay, they're not
I've
the most
been spat
fastidious.
On by a camel at Grant's Farm here.
Really?
Yes.
You were. I knew that llamas spat. I didn't know camels spat.
Yes, they do.
Okay, well. Anyway,
usually
yeah.
after you don't feed them enough of the stuff at a little coin-operated food dispenser that they have
and
there.
They get mad at you.
Yeah. Or he didn't like my looks, one or the other. So
yeah.
So anyway.
I notice a lot of people spit at you here at the radio station.
You've seen my email. So anyway, you decided that at that point,
I thought it was a joint decision, but I know we agreed fairly early on that a key moment would be when the evil King Zarboff gets dung bombed by the camel.
And this
yes.
was one of the first things we talked about in outlining the book. For some reason, that came up, and
really?
We said, "Well, then let's get the whole book to this scene where we can have a flying camel."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that shows you how we think.
But you know, we made a mistake. We wrote a giant snake into the book.
Yes,
and it wasn't necessarily. It was maybe a little bit of a mistake because
it might be called a
big mistake. We were doing a reading in Miami, and they had. Decorated the store and the kids were all dressed up.
Pirates.
You were no doubt in your pirate costume.
Yeah,
did you have your eye patch on, Ridley?
I have my Ombra costume, which looks a little bit like
Friar Tuck.
Like, yeah, Friar Tuck.
Okay.
Friar Tuck, the bad side, you know. Anyway.
and Friar Tuck, the untold story.
and they told us, oh, and we got a snake here for you. And we're thinking, I'm thinking a snake in a cage. Because mm-hmm. if you have a, you know, it's a bookstore full of kids. Why would you have a snake not in a cage?
Right.
Well, it was not in a cage. And it was 11 feet long and it weighed 90 pounds.
A python?
It was a major, was it a, thought it was a python.
We thought it was a python.
Somebody said, no, that was a constrictor. But anyway, it did wrap itself around us and especially around Ridley's neck.
This thing weighed 95 pounds.
Wow.
And
now, wait a second. So there's a guy there who's the snake guy.
But he walked
shows
away.
Up as the snake guy.
He put the snake on us, and then he kind of wandered off.
You know what it was? He'd held it too long. We had to, you know, we'd been doing our deal, and he'd been holding this 95-pound snake. And finally, the moment came, and he just said, "I got to unburden myself." So he puts it on Dave's back, and we're shoulder to shoulder, so we can go into the same mic. And the thing goes right across Dave's back, across my shoulders, around my neck, and parks its head right by my ear.
Yow!
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and a big head at that.
It was a big snake. But, you know, and then the guy's gone, you know.
And then he walks away.
Like he parked his Vespa or something, you know.
See you later,
say,
guys.
Hey, bud, sir.
Yeah. And you're thinking any second he's going to come back.
Yeah.
Well, or the snake's going to do something.
And we're wondering what the snake is thinking, because the snake probably doesn't know that much about children's literature either. You know? It's like, the snake is just saying, huh, you know. This is, you know, not the guy I'm usually with. There's two other guys. Maybe these guys are, you know, maybe these are food, you know.
And does he also remember at any point, I am a constrictor? That's what I do for a living. These guys may write, but I constrict.
You know the Hollywood thing of snakes going, they don't do that when they're 11 and a half feet. They go,
is that
and
right?
It scares
was making a horrible noise.
You to death.
It was making a horrible noise.
Horrible noise.
So what did you do?
I actually raised my hand and said,
he stopped,
you're in front of the microphone.
Yeah, he stopped 300 kids, and I stopped the reading and just said, Tom, he was Tom, and the snake was George. And I said, Tom, is this normal? Because the thing was right in my ear going,
he's like,
Dave and I are looking at each other like, what is happening here?
I wet Ridley's pants. That's how scared I was. It was scary.
And Tom and George were then reunited and everything
at
was
some
okay.
Point.
Not immediately. And the other thing was, two Disney executives came down
to help
all the way from New York to be at this is our first signing. And it came on, and like, you don't know what they're, you know, other than a trip to Miami, what their function is there. But you would think that they would be there to help us when we needed help.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately when the giant snake appeared, they were like all the way across the room.
Paper
like,
trails. You know. Gone.
Wow.
So, and then they came up later with Purell. I'm not kidding.
Before you shake the kid's hand, wipe the snake off.
And it was this weird, oily.
So does George tour with you now? Will he be at the library
tonight?
No snakes.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Dave and Ridley, by the way, are you doing a reading tonight?
We're on a magic show. Yeah.
That's a little bit of a
stretch.
We do a magic trick.
A magic trick.
Oh yeah, we have learned a magic trick, and it's a pirate related magic trick that we do.
Okay.
It's part of our act. We're also available for weddings, bar mitzvahs.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. They'll be doing it tonight at the St. Louis County Library headquarters branch on Lindbergh. I have been asked to MC this event.
Yay. Are you going to be there?
I believe all that means is I say, here are Dave and Ridley, and then I go with the Disney. The execs on the other side of the room.
And run.
In case animals are brought out. Yeah. Don't look to me. I'm not helping. I'm telling you right now.
You've worked with camels. Could you bring a camel?
Well,
we'd also have a camel in there.
I will call Grant's Farm and see if they have any spitters available for
cool.
tonight. And then you guys do like 45 minutes or an hour, and then I come back and I thank everybody.
That's it.
Wow, do I have the easy part tonight.
It's a good gig.
And I also didn't have to write a 463-page book to get this gig. These guys did, and we'll talk more about it in just a moment. It's called Peter and the Secret of Run Dune by Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson. We have a link to it on KMOX.com. If you use that link to buy it, a portion of the proceeds will go to St. Louis Children's Hospital. And we're back in a moment here as the Paul Harris Show continues on News Talk 1120 KMOX. Recognize this, guys? You should. Any idea what that is?
Hit me on the face.
That's Steve King right there. So it's the Remainders. How do you have a CD of the Remainders?
Is this us?
Yeah, it is, because that
Here
was
comes
Steve.
Stephen King.
You can't judge an apple by looking
That's
at
Steve.
A tree. You can't judge a
I don't
honey.
Know how anyone has this. Looking this must be ancient, too.
Hey, Steve, you can't judge a daughter. From looking at the
mother. Is that Amy Tam?
That's
can't
Kathy Goldmark.
Now, looking at the cover. Can't you see how you misjudge me?
Hey, no. You look like a farmer.
But I'm a lover.
I guess you can't judge a book by looking
at the cover. Is this off that video?
This is off of Stranger Than Fiction.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Never throw anything away. That's my philosophy. I found this years ago, and I had just dug through my computer and found it. And the group there is the Rock Bottom Remainders.
That same CD has a version of a song I wrote called Tupperware Blues. It's probably the only blues song ever written about Tupperware.
Probably.
And it has Warren Zevon playing lead guitar on that one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And Ridley on bass.
Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson are here. They are two of the members of the Rock Bottom Remainers, in addition to Stephen King. And they've had all sorts of guest stars. When they were here last year, it was World Series time, and they were playing at the Pageant, and Roger McGuinn was in town
at
the same time and was playing with you guys.
Yep.
And, you told a story then about working with Springsteen. Who are some of the other big rock stars who've played with the Remainders?
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Niels Lofgren.
That's true. Bruce Springsteen did.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. In fact, I had to ask him one of the most embarrassing moments of my life musically. We were down to one last song when Bruce came on stage, and that song was Gloria, which is the easiest rock song ever written. If you throw a guitar on the ground, it will all by itself play Gloria. But I had to go, just to make sure we were all on the same page, I had to go to Bruce Springsteen and say, Bruce, do you know Gloria? And he goes, I think I can handle it.
Yeah,
he handled it pretty
well. Probably playing that at Asbury Park at 9.
Yeah. Or in the womb, maybe.
So who else has showed up? Have you had any
Judy
other?
Judy Collins we played with.
Oh, you know who sang with us in New York in June?
Oh, that was
we had Amy Tan saying, It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want. want to. Mm-hmm. And while the crowd was applauding, we said, and now let's see if there's anybody who can do that any better. And we brought out Leslie Gore.
Oh, nice.
Who sang It's
and
My
She
Fault.
Nailed it.
She's really a, well, actually she's a terrific singer.
Terrific.
Wow.
And we played this weekend in Miami with Monty Montgomery, a phenomenal guitarist out of Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for some reason, we are able to get, at risk of their careers, we are able to get good musicians to join us from time to time.
Well, they want to have fun, and that's what you guys do.
Well, we make them feel good. They think, like, no matter what happens to me, I'll never be as bad as these people are at this.
There you go.
So we had Carl Hyacin come up, the author, come up and play with us one time with his guitar coach, teacher.
Carl, they set up together backstage, at the back of the stage, both their guitar amps right next to each other. And all night long, we're hearing from the back, you know, E! A! E!
He's only about a half measure behind.
And then Carl would painstakingly go to the next chord. You know, as right. good as a writer as Carl is, that's as bad a, how bad a guitar player he is.
Not quite in sync with the rest of the guys.
We had Frank McCourt singing with us at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he forgot the words to Danny Boy, which was a memorable moment.
Wow.
We accused him of
not really being Irish.
At all.
No, he's not.
He's Scottish.
The book is called Peter and the Secret of Rundoon. It is the third in the Peter Pan prequels that Dave and Ridley have written. I mentioned before the commercial break that it's some 460 pages. Did J.K. Rowling make it possible again to write really long books?
And to write these books. I mean, I think we really would credit her with blowing the doors off of children's literature and allowing story to come back front and center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kids, as long as they're interested, kids will read any length book. And, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of people... The feeling for before the Harry Potter books had become, well, you know, nobody wants to read anymore. Everybody wants to be on the internet, play video games.
Yeah.
So any book we give them has to be short and really simple because they won't get their attention.
The ADD generation can't handle it.
And it's just not true at all. If the book, you know, if the kids are captivated, as she showed by the story, they'll read any length book and they'll want it to
and
be longer.
And they read them quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. We have found out.
My daughter doesn't read your book. She absorbs them.
Yeah.
I think there's an osmosis that's involved. She puts them in her hand and it becomes part of her.
And the minute they finish it, which is sometimes only a matter of a day or two for this thing that took us a year, they want the next one.
Yeah.
And so they sort of, by Friday night, they'd like the next book to be ready.
You know, I've always thought of, like, if I go to some fancy restaurant, which doesn't happen all that often, and they bring out, you know, the food that is prepared so perfectly with the plate that has got everything and the garnish is right here.
It's 8 minutes later.
It's like, gone. I've consumed this masterwork. Don't you feel that way sometimes about your books? We put a year into that. What do you mean you read it in 3 hours?
No, that actually, I think the faster they read it, the bigger the thrill, because it means they could not put it down. You know, we've had the instance where the kid is literally walking along the sidewalk reading the book.
You know, so. The book came about, by the way, because Ridley's daughter Paige asked him, how did
Peter meet Captain Hook in the first place?
Yeah, and you thought, wow, that's a great idea for
a
book.
It's such a great setup, because in Peter Pan, there's a boy who can fly, he never grows old. There's this thing, Tinkerbell. He doesn't. He can detach from his shadow. None of it's explained.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like a great. How does a little boy become Peter Pan? That's really what she was asking.
And we locked Paige in a room, and until she comes up with another idea for us.
but here's the question I was leading up to. Again, I've got a daughter, and I've been in those situations where I'm putting her to bed and reading her a story, and she has a question about it. She doesn't want to wait a year until I write the answer out. How did that work for you with Paige?
Well, it was 2 years.
Honey, I'm working on it.
Yeah,
I'll get back to you.
And I showed up into a room in manuscript. This thing, I think, was 550, 570 pages. It was enormous.
Yeah.
And I walked up for our reading hour and sat down on the edge of her bed with a thing the size of a New York phone book and said, you know, do you remember asking me about how Peter Pan met Captain Hook? Well, sure I do. You know, and I said, well, here's the answer. And her eyes went really wide. And I said, she had turned 7 the week before. And I said, I think, you know, we should spend reading hour now reading this and you'll get the answer of how Peter Pan met Captain Hook. And she went, oh, no, Dad, I think I better read this one myself. And so she tackled this monster thing. And it was 5 weeks later. It was well into May that she came running down into the living room. I don't know what she thought of the book, but she had gotten through it. She said, Dad, I finished. And that was the whole thing. You know?
Was she satisfied with the answer to the question that she had started?
I don't know. I just know that she finished the book. No, she's really loved the books. Yeah, sure.
That's great.
And she reads Kingdom Keepers and all of those books before anybody else, so that's a big thrill.
And you've got the Neverland series going on as well.
Right, we've got a third Neverland coming out.
Terrific stuff. Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson here on the Paul Harris Show. The book is Peter and the Secret of Rundoon. Tonight at 7 o'clock, they will be together at the St. Louis County Library.
With you, Mr. Harris.
Yes, I will be
with
there
you.
Introducing them. This will be at the headquarters branch on Lindbergh, and I'm told that there are seats for about 400 people, and that if you get there much past 5:30, you may have to struggle for a seat. That's how popular. The library tells me this is just going to be an overflow night for you guys.
We will see about that.
It is going to be tremendous, and we're all looking forward to it. And we'll talk more with Dave and Ridley in just a moment here on News Talk 1120 KMOX. Got to play some rock and roll while these guys are here. Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson.
This is also the remainders. We got this
That's you.
That's me singing.
Yeah. That's Ridley playing the Mick Jagger part. Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson both here. By the way, there's a story out today about the people at Gibson. I think last time you were here, I had a Gibson in the studio that you played.
Yeah.
The people at Gibson have come up with a Les Paul robot guitar, they call it. Which auto-tunes.
It tunes itself, yeah. I want one of these.
And it tunes to play, you know, like Voodoo Child by Hendrix.
It has six tunings.
Or Honky Tonk Woman by the Rolling Stones. Do you know about this?
Absolutely. I want one because Ridley is always complaining that I'm out of tune, which I am. I am out of tune.
Is that right?
Yes. And
I complain.
But, you know, he points it out, you know, in his own Ridley way. And he never aims it directly at me. He'll say, like, He'll pointedly look away from me and go, now let's make sure, let's all try to stay in tune. And he's like looking at the drummer.
I know he means, but somebody here is not in the right key.
Let's try, because, and my feeling about that is, like, they tune those things at the factory, right?
Yes, they do.
Why do you have to keep messing with it every time you play?
Exactly right. The book is called Peter and the Secret of Rundoon. It's the third Peter Pan prequel. Which there can't be any more because right after this, it goes right into the actual Peter Pan story.
That's right.
And so they've got to come up with something new. By the way, do you guys owe money to the J.M. Barrie estate for stealing the idea and turning it into your own?
No.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean stealing.
Stealing the idea, Paul.
Being inspired by, how does
you mean
that work?
Garnishing his wonderful work and... No, enabling more sales of his body of work.
That's exactly what I meant.
That's
really
what you meant.
I apologize.
Then we can explain that.
In the United States, this is in story of Peter Pan is in public domain and has been for some time. In the European Union, in the UK, it's not. So when our books are published there, which they are, the portion of the royalties go to Great Ormond Street Hospital, which is
who owns the rights. Well,
they own the J.M. Barrie estate. Yeah. I gotcha.
So it was actually, I thought it was great that. You were saying if they order over your website, it goes to a children's hospital. It seems like a common theme for this.
Yeah, we've set that up at KMOX.com for your previous books and for
That's
this
fabulous.
One as well. People will be showing up in costume tonight, and you guys will be dressed up or you won't
we do.
Be?
We do
little moments.
We dress up. We do a magic trick. We do voices.
It's a Disney really operation.
Ridley, could you do – Ridley can do a porpoise.
A little porpoise.
Wow.
Now, but here's where it gets bad. Now, Ridley, do a pigeon. Oh, usually the porpoise and the pigeon sound the same.
They sound the same. They're closely related.
By the way, what did you just say in porpoise?
Your underwear on
green.
Fire.
Apparently I'm a liar then. And speaking of Disney, how close are we to a theme park ride?
We're not quite at the theme park, but we are coming close to a Broadway musical, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's in development.
Not doing a movie first?
No, they're doing the Broadway play first, and then if it's successful, they're going to do three movies, actually, so we'll see.
Wow.
But we are it's funny you should mention Disney theme park because Dave and I are going to be what's it called?
Oh yeah, we're going to be the grand marshals of the parade at Disney World in December.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that will be the most embarrassing single thing I've ever
in
done.
Our lives.
And I'm a man who set fire to a pair of underpants with a Barbie doll on the David Letterman show.
Yes, so you did.
I've done some embarrassing things.
Right, here we go.
But I mean, like, we're just picturing just going past all those people at
in
Disney
Model
World,
T.
and they're all going, who are they again?
Are
where's Regis? We want Regis.
We figure it'll be a thrill for our kids, so that's why we're doing it.
Yeah, but then again, how many presidential candidates do they get in that parade?
Yeah.
Probably all of them.
Are you, by the way, currently?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. I assume I have your support. And
you
support
always do. You know that. Although I am disappointed that Stephen Colbert has ended his campaign because I was looking forward to the debate between you two.
I challenged him, but you know, that's, I guess he was a little afraid, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But
I just want to say that how many states do we cover here? The blowtorch?
44.
44. All those 44 states listening, I agree with you about everything. And I will, if I'm elected president, I will fly bombers over your state and drop money, federal money, on you.
Wow.
That's the kind of president I will
be. And he's particularly targeting this to our friends of the North in Iowa because they'll vote first, because they've got the caucuses. They'll get the money first, but then it'll spread across the land.
And I've been guaranteed that I will be Minister of Education.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Congratulations.
Actually, he really should be like Minister of Death.
Well, considering the last book was called Killer Weekend.
Killer Death, Death Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a series of books coming.
Oh, you know, I'll be Attorney General, except I'm not an attorney.
If you're going to be Minister of Education, you've got to answer this question for me.
Good.
What, since you've written about pirates.
I actually want to be the Minister of the Post Office, but go ahead.
Okay. But since you've written about pirates and all sorts of adventures like that, define for me swashbuckling.
Oh, that's it.
I asked him. Hold on, Dave. Don't jump in.
Well, first you have to have a swash.
Yes. And you buckle it.
Yeah.
Is there a definition?
The origins of that.
What does avast mean also? That's another question we'd like to know. And they always say, avast! But what does that actually mean?
I don't know.
Is you supposed to do something when they say
and
that?
I think you're supposed to buckle your swash at that point.
In the last interview, Dave brought up, what are ramparts in the national anthem?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's many questions.
I believe
that
they're
to be
like part of the fireworks.
They're part of the ram.
The rampart.
You watch Orem or them.
In all of this discussion of Peter Pan and all the stuff that you've written in these books through the years, and I mentioned J.M. Barrie, and you guys are associated with Disney, there is a part of the original Peter Pan story that I have, as a viewer, never really liked. And I took my daughter to see it when they did it at the Muni a few years ago. The whole Tiger Lily and the Indians
Do you see that in our books, Paul?
No, I don't.
No,
and you guys
don't.
Wrote that out. But and this is not just a matter of political correctness. I truly believe,
cringing.
As a child, it was
cringingly awful. Yeah, the Indians in the Disney cartoon are really an embarrassment. And we wanted to make sure that the natives in our story on the island are not like that.
They're called
smart,
the mollusks,
funny,
yes.
But they're English educated and smarter than that.
Also, you do something that's not part of the story. You actually make smart, strong girl characters. Molly.
We've got daughters.
Yes, the same for me. I think that's the appeal to my daughter. You
exactly.
Know? Molly is the heroine of the book.
Because Wendy was always, Peter.
Right. You know. Save me from Captain Hook
or whatever. We wanted a brave, resourceful little girl because that's what our daughters are. So
nicely done. Yeah, nicely done. All right, tonight at 7 o'clock, at the St. Louis County Library headquarters branch on Lindbergh, Dave Barrie and Ridley Pearson and some radio guy introducing
them. And no snakes.
No snakes, but
all
sorts of fun stuff. The book is called Peter and the Secret of Rundoon. Will they be selling copies of the book tonight, by the way? Is this a book sale and signing?
I'm sure it is.
And bring,
probably benefits the library.
And if your kids have previous books by these guys,
we'll sign anything.
Bring them right
Except
along.
Except the snake. We won't sign.
And if you'd like to order a copy of the book, you could do it through KMOX.com, and a portion of the proceeds will go to help out St. Louis Children's Hospital. Guys, it's always great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Paul.
It was our pleasure.
Thank
we'll
you.
See
I'll
you
see
tonight.
You tonight. Dave Barrie and Ridley Pearson on the Paul Harris Show on KMOX.